welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, March 12th. We have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk with Andy Hirsch about library activities here in Juno. Wanda Whitcomb from the Learning Connection will be here to highlight this month's computer classes. Regina Fallis from the Daughters of the American Revolution will be here to recap the winners of their recent Community Service Awards. Saul Neely will highlight Friday's Spring Honors Program presentation at UAS. And Nancy DeCherney will be here with Arts Up, as she is every Thursday. Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music and more here on a Juno Afternoon.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. The National Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas is in its fourth day, and one area tribal leaders are looking at is technology. Tribes across the country are embracing technology in their business ventures. Fred Everett is a regulatory affairs officer with the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Nations Energy Department, which handles oil and gas leases. Everett says the tribe is in the process of seeking out new technology.
Right now, what we're trying to do, and we're working with our pipeline authority, is trying to get a SCADA system put in place for the wells, or for the pipelines. And then also our compliance officers are out there daily monitoring all the well sites, along with the TARO officers monitoring all the trucks and all the businesses going around there. Infrastructure is our biggest thing right now, trying to get everything set up with that. So the technology it's coming, but it's coming slowly.
The Sikwan Band of Kumia Nation operates a golf course, resort, and casino. Chairman Cody Martinez says technology has helped streamline communication.
I think there's always a need to expand technology, but also people's understanding so you could take advantage of the use. A lot of companies upgrade their technology, but they don't really use it. A lot of people aren't trained. We're always looking to utilize technology, so effective communication.
Cindy Antover is with IBM. She says the company is working with tribes to help improve tribal business operations, expand, and get into new areas.
There are a number of tribal entities that we are working with and have worked with over the last 10 or 15 years to provide technology support, hardware, software, software implementation services. We've been doing that kind of work for a number of years with several different Indian country tribes and affiliated organizations.
Technology is one of the focuses this week at the National Reservation Economic Summit in Las Vegas. The Northern Arapaho tribe in Wyoming recently lost a lawsuit against the Internal Revenue Service. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards got reactions from tribal leaders.
The tribe sued the IRS because it classified the Northern Arapaho as a large employer, requiring them to pay for employee health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. The tribe argued that a longstanding treaty requires the federal government to pay for Native American health care, and that the federally run Indian Health Services isn't doing good enough to fulfill that agreement. But the Department of Justice successfully argued that the large employer health insurance payments are actually a kind of tax, and so can't be hit with a lawsuit until after the tribe pays. Northern Arapaho Chairman Dean Goggle says he thinks this is a misinterpretation of the ACA.
We are disappointed in the ruling, of course, but we do not think Congress intended to block Native Americans working for large employers from health care benefits.
Until this ruling, the Northern Arapaho has been able to offer its employees health coverage through the ACA's health insurance exchange without expense to the tribe. Many people have health insurance for the first time, and that's why Goggle says the tribe has no intention of giving up.
We are optimistic about finding a fix to this problem that the IRS regulations creates. We are gaining support through Indian Country, and we will look at all our options in moving forward.
The Wind River Casino and Resort, owned by the Northern Arapaho, currently employs over 600 people. It's the largest employer in its county. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Melody Edwards.
For National Native News, I'm Tristan Ottone.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. STEM students thrive at New Mexico Tech. Personalized instruction, rigorous curricula, and research opportunities groom NM Tech grads for professional and financial success. Costs and salary info of Tech grads in Winds of Change magazine or nmt.edu.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Service.
And thanks for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, March 12th. My name is Shona Osterhout, and it's 6 minutes past the hour. In the studio with me, I have some fabulous Juno Public Library ladies. We've got Andy Hirsch and Heidi Clements. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Yeah, so recently you all were on air. Actually, Beth Weigel was, because she's, you know, all things library like you all. And she was talking about Bardathon. So Bardathon was this Shakespeare event that had readings all over town. And I was just wondering, how did it go?
It was amazing. So we had six different readings at the library. We did historicals and comedies, and it was fantastic. Everybody, we switched up parts, and everybody was really dramatic, and it was great.
Cool. And we didn't get a chance to talk when she was on about the other amazing things that happened at the library that are upcoming for March. So can we hit some of those?
Absolutely. So we have a bunch of different programs other than Bardathon that will be happening for the rest of the month. So on Saturday at the Douglas Library, you know, it's 314, so we're having Pi Day. And it's going to start at 9 in the morning with a special event at 9:26, so it can be 3.1415926.
Seriously?
There's going to be pie and coffee. We're going to measure things. It's going to be great.
And it keeps going infinitely, right?
It does.
Okay.
Infinite pie and coffee.
That sounds perfect. Great. Well, what else is going on?
Just as a reminder, every Monday we have Tlingit Language Learners Group, and that's at the Downtown Library at 6 p.m. And everybody is welcome from the community. You don't have to have any language experience, or you could be great. Everybody is welcome to attend.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a couple of people on to talk about that program, and because it was kind of an informal class that led to something that's happening every Monday, and just a really amazing opportunity to learn new phrases, to appreciate the Tlingit language and learn it. Yeah,
exactly. And we especially encourage people to bring their children. So it's all ages are welcome.
Great. Heidi, what else is going on?
So on Thursday, March 19th at the Valley Library, we have our third Thursday family time. So every third Thursday of every month, we have this family night. And it's for all ages. Again, it starts at 5:30 p.m. And the theme this month is Mary Poppins. So the JDHS cast members will have a few of them coming by to talk to us. And we'll provide a light supper, which is important to note for our 5:30 p.m. programs. We like to provide supper. We'll also be doing a craft in this time around in the theme of Mary Poppins. We'll be making kites. So it should be a lot of fun. Everyone's welcome. And yeah.
Sounds great. Yeah. What else?
What else? So the following Thursday after that, Thursday, March 26th, we'll have our fourth in the series of four After Hours film nights. So that's at 6 p.m. at the Douglas Library, but the doors open at 5:45.
So we have a quiz for you about what this is.
Okay.
So it is a movie. It takes place in Australia, and it is two drag queens and a transgendered woman. You have
already
it?
Know.
I mean,
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Absolutely.
Boom.
Absolutely.
Win. I'm like 4 for 4.
You are. You're so good at this.
Yeah. I really love the After Hours films really resonate with me for some reason.
Well, awesome. 6 p.m. on Thursday the 26th, I'll see you there. Right?
Perfect.
They resonate.
And these have been a lot of fun. They're co-sponsored by Sigla, and it's been a really cool activity for folks, and we've had a really good turnout. A lot of sing-alongs that take place.
Highly encouraged.
Again, snacks are provided since it's a 6 p.m. event.
So it'll be great.
Fun.
Okay. And then we have one other event this month, and that is going to be on Friday, the 27th, and it's an event called Dancing Through the Stacks. So the library is working with Alaska Blues Fusion and UAS to bring up two really fantastic dance instructors, Kelly Howard and Mark Carpenter. And they are going to be teaching a free lesson at the Douglas Library at 5:30 p.m. So as I'm sure everybody is aware, the library closes at 5. So we're going to be opening up after hours so we can be loud and noisy and play music and dance around and have a great time.
How do you – what's the book connection?
Well, the library is about providing experiences for everyone. So the library is really about letting people educate themselves. And if they can do that by reading a book, that's fantastic. Like, you check out all those books. But we also like to provide other experiences that other people might not be able to do. So we have artists come, we have illustrators, and in this case, our artists are dancers.
You know, Juno is a 21st century library system. We don't just focus on books anymore. It's actually services for the community as a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really great. And what about, you all do so many activities. Let's say that I get confused in my brain about which one I should go to. Where can I find this information?
Well, first, of course, you should go to all of them. but if you want to be able to do other things in your life, you can find this information in two different areas on our webpage, which is www.juno.org/library, or we post all of our events on our Facebook page.
You have a Facebook page?
We do have a Facebook page.
Super hip Juno Public Library.
I know.
Yeah. Well, cool. Anything else that you'd like to tell us about what's going on at the library?
I just want to mention that we always have our story time. So every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 11 a.m. we have story times. Downtown is on Wednesdays, Douglas is on Thursdays, and the Valley Library is on Fridays.
Sounds lovely. Heidi Clements, Andy Hirsch, always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
Definitely check out all the upcoming activities.
They're going to be great. Everyone should come.
It's Pi Day this Saturday.
Yeah, Pi Day. I'm so excited.
Clearly. I love it.
Bless my
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, March 12th, and it's 15 minutes past the hour. Wanda Whitcomb and Joanne Bloom are here from the Learning Connection to talk about some upcoming classes. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thanks, Shona.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, can you fill us in on what the Learning Connection is?
I sure can. The Learning Connection is really a school and other programs that are for adults, and that means people who are 16 and over, and, you know, they could be enrolled for some of our programs, but for the basic adult education program, we would ask that they not be enrolled in school. We have basic education classes for students who are trying to up their skills. It could be that they're going for the GED. It could be that they're trying to prep for college. Our classes include math classes. We have three different levels of math classes, and one of those classes is a college prep level. We have writing and reading classes. We have also computer classes, evening computer classes. We have programs for construction classes that are free. So all of our classes are free except for our driver's education class, and that is the only class that has a fee attached to it. Everything else is a free class. So computer classes, writing classes, reading classes, levels of math classes. And at the end of this month, for adults who have never explored a career training job that they might be interested in, we are going to have a two-week session called College and Training Career Awareness Class, where we're going to explore whatever they might be interested in on a personal, individual basis. So it's going to be 2 weeks, and that will end with a field trip to the University of Alaska here in Juneau.
And so this is for people who maybe have not thought about how to, you know, what to focus on in school or in college and what career to go for. Is that kind of thing?
It is. You know, a lot of people have an idea of what they might want to do at some point one day. And if you think about adult learners, they were never really involved in the high school exploration of careers and jobs and training. So this is really to give them that opportunity. Maybe they never had a field trip to the university. So now we can address that for them, and it's open to anyone. The only thing that we would have them do is do a registration and assessment, and they can partake in our class, in our college and career awareness class.
That's great. Are most of the people that are involved in your programs, are they mostly focused towards a GED, or is it pretty much open to anybody who wants to better their education?
Open to anyone. We have free evening computer classes, and right now those computer classes are doing beginning and intermediate Excel and working in the cloud-based computing.
And all the classes are free?
All the classes are free.
They are, and I'd like to mention that there's three other programs. We have our Family Literacy Center, and so whereas children aren't as welcome downtown because it is an adult learning center, at Greening Park we have our Family Literacy Center, and you're welcome to bring your children there, and there's a kind of a preschool setting for the children while they're there, while their parents are working toward bettering themselves, either through computers or through English classes. We have a lot of English as a second language and citizenship classes. We have another program that's called MAST, Mature Alaskans Seeking Skill Training. If you're 55 and older, you're trying to get back into the workplace. We have programs, again, free for you for that. And then if you're younger, between the ages of 16 and 21, we have something called JobX. That's getting pretty well known around town, where we work with young people to help them figure out what it is they might want to do, and we help them get their first job experience.
It's an amazing program. I've worked with quite a few of the students and the people that have come through there, and it's just a great tool for them because it helps both the organization as well as the job seeker or the
and the employer
yeah
as
right.
well
yeah.
yeah.
And so if people want to get involved in these classes, they need to register. Can they come in and do that? Is there a place online they can do that? Or how does that work?
There isn't a place online, except for the Construction Academy. There is an application online available. For the adult classes, they would come in, they would register with us. We have an orientation every week on Mondays from 10 to 12. So that's just open door, come in at a little before 10 o'clock, and we'll get you started on something. We'll do an assessment on you. We'll talk to you about what's your learning plan, what's your goal, and help set all that up for each student.
Seems like a wonderful service for our community. How many people partake? I mean, on a yearly basis, how many people do you have coming through your doors?
We have, on average, about 300 to 400 students. And this is a regional program, too, so I'd like to add that. We have sites in Sitka, Ketchikan, and Prince of Wales that offer adult basic education, and that is also leading up to college prep education. And then in outreach in the other sites outside of Juneau, Sitka, Ketchikan, and Prince of Wales, if someone were interested in building their skills or trying to study for the GED, they can contact us. Our number is 586-5718. If they give us a call, we will try to set them up with a tutor free of cost for them, and that person can work with them to reach their educational goals. We're all about educational goals. We're all about trying to make this fun and comfortable for everyone involved.
Is there a web page that people can go check out for more information and contact information?
Sure. Our web address is www.serrc.org/TLC.
Learning Connection.
Or you can always friend us on Facebook, too, at the same address.
And you have a spot downtown, because I go by that one quite a bit. And is there Greening Park? Is that in a different location? Or?
Yeah, that's out by Walmart, and that's in the Greening Park complex. I believe it's G9 is the apartment that they've converted to a really made a great atmosphere for people to drop in. They have a computer lab there. They have definitely kids areas. They have homework club for children after school that live in the area. There's always lots going on there. They have monthly family nights. It's a real fun place to hang out and learn.
Sounds great. Anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to invite people just to come by. If you're curious, even if you don't want to register, but you'd like to talk to somebody and take a view of the place, come on in. We'll show you around. You'll see how comfortable it is and how staff are really pleasant and welcoming and easy to work with.
Yeah, and I have one more question, because I've popped in there a few times for students and various information, but who are the teachers of these courses?
So Patty Bowman is our writing and reading teacher, and she incorporates social studies and science into her writing and reading classes. Joanne is our lead math teacher. She does the Applied Math 2 and the Applied Math 3, which would be the college prep class. I teach the Applied Math 1 class, and we have Kate Pressing for JobX, Brandon Sorrell for JobX, and Kate does the free evening computer classes, and she does
She does a lot of career counseling, and she helps with our Alaska Construction Academy. Mm-hmm.
And
well.
Brandon does Alaska Construction Academy, Juneau Construction Academy, I'm sorry. And Danelle McCarthy does our ESL, and I haven't even talked about English as a second language. So if you know someone, or if you are someone trying to build your English skills, we're the place you need to come, and we're the people you need to talk to.
And I'd like to give a shout out for volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers to match one-on-one with somebody that's trying to learn English or needs extra help with their writing or their math. We're just looking for an hour or two a week. And again, you can call us at 586-5718.
Great. Wanda Whitcomb, Joanne Bloom, thank you so much for coming on to talk about the learning connections and all the wonderful opportunities there are for people to get some more education.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And here is Garrison Keeler with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 12th of March, 2015. It's the anniversary of the Great Blizzard, 1888, dumped up to 50 inches of snow along the East Coast, hit New York City particularly hard, 200 persons died. Back then, weather forecasting was done by the U.S. Army Signal Corps, and they did not see this storm coming. Weather in the days before had been mild, temperatures in the 40s, spring apparently just around the corner. Grass was turning green, the trees were budding, but then on Sunday afternoon the rain came, it turned to snow. That night the wind came up, gusts up to 80 miles an hour, and by Monday morning everything in New York City was chaos. All the trains were stopped, the electric lines were not working, the stores were closed, the city was more or less shut down. The snowdrifts were up to 20 feet high. The East River was so blocked with ice that thousands of people crossed over on it as a bridge between Brooklyn and Manhattan. The Great Blizzard of 1888 inspired some changes in infrastructure in New York City. The electric lines above ground were put below ground, and the gas and the water lines. And it was about then that people started to plan to put the transit underground as well. The New York subway was born with the Great Blizzard of 1888. It's the birthday of the playwright Edward Albee, born 1928, author of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Me, Myself, and I. Edward Albee, who said, if you're willing to fail interestingly, you tend to succeed interestingly. It's the birthday of Jack Kerouac, born Jean-Louis Kerouac in Lowell, Massachusetts, 1922, football star, high school. Got a football scholarship to Columbia in New York, where he met the Beats, Allen Ginsberg, Burroughs, Neil Cassidy, and others. Went off on a long trip around the country with Neil Cassidy, which led to his book On the Road, the manuscript of which sold at auction in 2001 for $2.2 million, a record for a literary manuscript. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, A Person of Limited Palate. I would love to have lived out my years in a cottage a few blocks from the sea, and to have spent my mornings painting out in the cold, wet rocks, to be known as a local artist, a pleasant old man who paints passably well in a traditional manner, a person of limited palette, earth tones and predictable blues, cloth cap and cardigan, baggy old trousers and comfortable shoes. But none of this shall come to pass, for every day the possibilities grow fewer, like swallows in autumn. If you should come looking for me, you'll find me here in Nebraska, 30 miles south of the broad Platte River, under the flyway of dreams. A poem by Ted Kooser, A Person of Limited Palate, from his collection Splitting an Order, published by Copper Canyon Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Progressive Insurance, with its Apron Project, celebrating progress and the people who make it happen. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
The politics of origin stories is the theme of the annual UAS Spring Honor Symposium, featuring the works and wisdom of Paul Marx, Ernestine Hayes, and Ishmael Hope. Igniting Indigenous Intellectual Authority, Tlingit Raven Stories takes place Friday, March 13th, 7 p.m. at Egan Lecture Hall on the University of Alaska Southeast Auk Lake campus. This event is free and open to the public. This message is brought to you by the University of Alaska Southeast.
And you're listening to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and here to talk more about the Spring Honors Program, the UAS, is Saul Neely. Thank you, Saul, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. So if you could tell us a little bit about what the Spring Honors Symposium is and how it comes about.
Yeah, so the Spring Honors Symposium is an annual event that is tied to the one-credit Spring Honors Reading Seminar. This is our third symposium, and the first 2 years ago concerned transgenerational suffering and focused on historical violence, memory, and repair. We brought up some Holocaust scholars, but we also, in keeping with the mission statement, the UAS mission statement that keeps us focused on cultures and environments of Southeast Alaska, we also held a public discussion on transgenerational suffering here in Tlingit Ani, or the Tlingit territory. And last year, the symposium focused on Pacific peoples, translocal identities, and cultural connections, and we really connected with our Filipino community here in Juneau. And this year, the topic of the reading seminar is the politics of origin stories. And so keeping with the mission statement, we focused primarily on Native origin stories, but not just the stories themselves, also the politics of attending to those stories.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, UAS as a university has an origin story, and frequently you know, that origin story begins with Plato or Aristotle. And, but, you know, UAS is situated here on Tlingit Ani. And so we've been doing a lot of work about, you know, giving privilege and voice and presence to the origin stories of Tlingit community, and not just usurping those origin stories with the ones of the university. And so this idea originally came, I was talking with Lance Twitchell, who teaches Alaska Native Language and Studies here, and we thought it would be neat to, you know, take an opportunity where we could go down to the coast, you know, someplace like Auk Rek or something, and have a biologist there, but also have a Tlingit elder there, and talk about, you know, origin stories and relationship to place and how stories operate, you know. So we have a lot of, you know, Plato wanted to kick the poets out of his ideal republic. And we have a philosophical tradition and a scientific tradition born from that philosophical tradition that pretends as if it's not storied, but it is storied. It's all storied. And so we focus a lot about, you know, the place of story and how stories operate and function politically, ideologically, culturally. And I worked a lot with Ishmael Hope, actually, on this course. He helped build the course content with me. We've been talking about it over the course of the summer. The idea was to not just read, say, some of the Native authors that many people know, like Thomas King or Joy Harjo. You know, these very famous Native authors who talk about origin stories within their work, but to actually go back to the source material itself. And so we went back to read some Robert Bringhurst, and we did some of his Haida stories, the Raven Traveling Cycle. We read that. We did some Cherokee stories as well. We read some origin stories from the book titled Cherokee Stories from the Turtle Island Liars Club. And then we read Thomas King, and then we read, you know, some of the more contemporary authors that people are more familiar with. And tomorrow night's program sort of mimics that. We will start with Paul Marx and hear Raven stories from him, and then we will hear from Ernestine Hayes, who will give a reading from her forthcoming book, The Tao of Raven, which blends, you know, beautiful poetry and philosophy and autobiography. It's just It's a gorgeous text. I think it was probably one of the students' favorite things to read during this reading seminar. And then we'll conclude with Ishmael Hope, who he actually had to travel to London. He was invited to present at a conference, but he has drafted and composed a poetic piece. He calls it a poetic argument, specifically for this symposium event. And we've edited a small video to accompany it.
Sounds great. What time is the lecture?
The lecture is at 7 p.m. in the Egan Lecture Hall. And I'll add one more thing. It's kind of sad. It is sad. We had originally had the UBIC elder, Paul John, scheduled to speak on Saturday night. But about 2 weeks after we secured the invitation with him, he suffered a heart attack, and he passed away this week. Mm. And so that's a great loss. Ishmael Hope says somebody like Paul John is deserving of a Nobel Prize in Literature. He's sort of a UBIC Homer, mm-hmm. if you will. And he would have been here this week. So we are going to stage tomorrow night's event in memoriam for Paul John.
Sounds like a great way to speak in his honor, yes, for sure. Could you tell us the speakers' names one more time, and then the time and the place again, please?
Yeah, it'll be Paul Marx, Ernestine Hayes, and Ishmael Hope. The event is titled Shingit Raven Stories, Igniting Indigenous Intellectual Authority. I love that phrase. It's actually Ernestine Hayes' phrase.
Yeah, it's great. And,
yeah.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and she was one of the four women of distinction for AWARE. So,
that's right.
Yeah. And
awarded
she was
last week.
That's right. And she was a keynote speaker in the Success Inside and Out Prison Conference last Saturday. So it's been such a joy to work with her. But anyway, it takes place at 7 p.m. in the Egan Lecture Hall on the campus of UAS tomorrow.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Saul. It sounds like it's going to be a fabulous event. And if people haven't heard Ernestine or Paul Marx or Ishmael's Hope speak before, it's just really crucial for our community that we listen to the stories of what was here before us.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Saul.
Thank you, Shona.
Have a great event.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship invites the community to join them on Sunday to explore Ekankar with guest speaker Margaret Brolick at 10 a.m. at the Temple Sukkot Shalom on Cordova Street in Douglas. More information at juuf.org. This message brought to you by the Juno Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Support comes from the Alaskan Brewing Company, now hiring for seasonal retail associates in Juneau. More application information at alaskanbeer.com.
And thank you so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, March 12th. It's 39 minutes past the hour. And in the studio with me, I have Regina Falace, here from the Daughters of the American Revolution. Thank you for joining me in the studio.
Hi, Shona. Thank you for having me here today.
Yeah. So you have some really outstanding, you have a spring
community service awards happening here.
We did.
Yeah.
It was last Saturday, and we honored 8 different individuals from the local community, and it was just a wonderful event. Began the afternoon, and we started off with our Women in the Arts Awards. One was a chapter winner, one was a state winner. Our chapter winner was Carol Burrows, and she's a really well-known local fiber arts artist. And the other, the state winner, was Ree Munoz, which, of course, she is extremely well-known, very talented woman. The next woman we awarded was the Women in American History Award, and that was a posthumous award to a lady named Ruth Riley Bauer. And some of your listeners may have heard of her as well. She served as a woman's air service pilot during World War II, so we wanted to honor her remarkable service. The next person we honored was a man named Brian Weed, and that was for the Historic Preservation Recognition Award. And what Brian has done is he's preserved Juneau's lost mine history through taking group hikes up to many of the mines in the area, and he also posts photos of those on his Juneau Hidden History Facebook page. A person we recognized for the Community Service Award was a man named Fred Felkel, and he helps maintain the Auk Lake Trail, just voluntarily going out doing everything from picking up after dogs to loose branches and everything in between. Kathy Hocker was our recipient of the Chapter Award for Conservation, a wonderful artist teaching elementary school children illustration art, really carefully observing things in nature and putting them on paper. And Brent Bartlett was given our DAR Distinguished Citizen Award for his public service in the United States Army, the Alaska Army National Guard, as well as the Juneau Police Force. So it was really neat to have all those winners that day.
Where was the event held?
We held it at the UAS Recreation Center in one of their classrooms there, and we transformed it into an award ceremony hall, and it was really nicely done.
Yeah, so the Daughters of the American Revolution, it's the Southeast chapter, I guess.
Right.
That's what it's called, yeah.
We call ourselves the Inside Passage chapter. We're the 5th chapter in Alaska, and the other 4, one is in Fairbanks, one is in Anchorage, one is in Eagle River, and the other is in Kodiak. But there are more than 3,000 chapters across the country, as well as in 10 other countries, and there's approximately 175,000 members currently, and nearly 1 million women have joined since its founding in 1890, 125 years ago.
That's incredible. And if people welcome to get involved, or how
absolutely
does that work?
Yes, absolutely. Any woman age 18 or older, regardless of race, religion, creed, any of that, who can prove lineal descent to someone who helped in the American Revolution on the American side is welcome to join as a member. You don't even have to be an American citizen. If you have a Spanish patriot or a French patriot, they help the American cause, so they too qualify for membership in the DAR. To help with application papers, we're more than happy to work with someone to research their genealogy and put their application papers together.
That's great, because some people might not even know.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a wonderful resource of materials available anymore because the Internet has been so helpful, posting a lot of free information as well as fee-based services like Ancestry.com. But I tend to use the free ones because they're so easy and priced correctly.
Right. And if people would like to contact the DAR here, the chapter mm-hmm. in Juneau, I guess it's Southeast wide.
Inside Passage.
Yeah, yeah. Inside Passage.
Yeah.
How do they do that? What's the best way?
There's a couple different ways they can contact us. One is through our email address for the chapter. It's insidepassagedar@yahoo.com. Another method is that they could call me directly. My number is 907-957-4263. If they're interested in DAR membership but they're not sure, they could always check out the website, which is www.dar.org, or our chapter website, which is insidepassagedar.weebly.com.
That's great. And how do you have these community service awards? Are they going to happen every year? How does that work?
This was our first one, and we do hope to have an annual award ceremony, so once a year.
That's great. Regina Falache with the Daughters of the American Revolution, thank you so much for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you very much.
by the light switch who watches over you. Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells. So the room must listen to me, filibuster vigilantly.
Perseverance Theater brings Juno the laugh riot of the year, Neil Simon's The Odd Couple. This Tony Award-winning comedy will keep you in stitches as we look back at these men from another era and ask ourselves, has that much really changed? The Odd Couple opens on March 6th and runs through March 29th. For more information and tickets, visit Hearthside Books, The Jack, ptalaska.org, or call 463-TIXS.
Welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, March 12th. It's 46 minutes past the hour. And in the studio, the one, the only, Ms. Nancy DeJourney. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Well, the weather's improved since this morning. So that's good.
Wow. We have a really low bar.
It's easier that way.
That's true.
So it's a spring break weekend.
Woo.
Woohoo. I don't know, surf's up? I don't know. Anyway, but you were just playing. One of the important things to do this week would be to go see The Odd Couple, which is playing at Perseverance. There's a performance tonight at 7:30 and Friday at 7:30 and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 4.
Yeah, and tonight is the last pay-as-you-can, too.
And I just have to say, it's the funniest thing I've seen in a long time.
Oh, good. Oh, good. It's funny.
It is funny. If you just need some chuckles, that's where you're going to go. There's also The Life of King Henry V. I suspect that's less of a laugh riot. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm looking forward to doing that later this week.
So. And one of Shakespeare's most important works, and Theater in the Rough always does such an amazing job.
So don't miss either one of those, and this is a good time to be going to see those. There's a film at the Silver Bow, a film screening. There are some canvas workshops to go do. There's a flight to adventure out at the Student Rec Center today. Tomorrow, there's from 11:30 to 1:30 ebooks and audiobooks for everyone at the Alaska State Library. And I think probably at that same time, you could be hearing the organ concert.
Ooh.
So there's a 2-for-1 there. There's a spaghetti feed at Aldersgate from 5 to 7. There is Dan Hobson playing guitar. There is the UAS Spring Honors Symposium from 7 to 8 p.m. out at UAS on Friday. And again, the two plays. Let's see. AWARE's advocacy training happens on Saturday from 9 to 4:30. So if you're interested in getting involved in that, give them a call. Coffee and Collections up at the City Museum. I didn't catch what they're doing, but they always have something interesting going on, and the coffee's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there. Let's see. Sham Jam is happening at the Canvas from 8 to 11:59. This is a fundraiser.
Is that Sham like Shamrock?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
Because we're getting close to the Shamrock Day,
right?
I guess. Yeah. And from 9:30 to 11:59, there's traditional Irish music at the Alaskan Bar and Hotel.
Ooh, yes. Andy Ferguson on fiddle.
Aha.
He is incredible with the Irish music on the fiddle. Well, pretty much any music, but
yeah. But so something to do tonight, this weekend, as you get ready for the stuff. There is, let's see, the ukulele jam on Sunday, and Monday officially is spring break and gold medal.
Oh, I totally forgot about gold medal.
How could you forget?
I don't know.
It's a thing. It's a thing that we do for the whole week. It's going to be great. They had the insert in the Empire, so get ready for that. Let's see, there's some spring break youth classes at the Canvas, and at Perseverance is having spring break camp from 4:30 to 5:30. Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, actually, we're teaching classes all day long.
All day long.
All
so
day.
What are you teaching, and how do they sign up?
Yeah, well, we're teaching creative dramatics for little guys, 6 to 8 years old. And we're doing an improv class, which is super great for older kiddos. We're doing an acting class for older kiddos, and we're doing a musical theater class. I'm teaching that.
Oh, wow.
I'm very excited.
Wow, I want to take that.
Yeah, oh, please do. Give me a call. I make special exceptions
right, yes.
For Mrs. DeJourney.
Let's see. Okay, so there are a lot of things that you can be doing for spring break. If it keeps snowing like this, maybe they'll go skiing. I don't know. There's a narrative sculpture with Andriana Donahue at the Canvas from 6:30 to 9. There's a toga party.
What?
At Suite 907 on Monday from 7 to 9 p.m.
Huh.
Who knew? Yes, so there it is.
Well, the Monday night toga party.
Well, it's
like
a spring
that.
Break.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, see? Yeah, see? You don't get spring break anymore. I'm sorry. The Southeast Conference is having their summit. That's happening at the Jack on Tuesday and Wednesday. There's the spring break camp goes on for the whole week, so you got all those things to do. There's a round table, and it's going to be at the Jack, but we're going to actually probably do it at the Rendezvous because there's so many things happening at the Jack. There's no room at the inn. Color Theory with Anari Kailanen at the Canvas from 6:30 to 9 on Tuesday. Let's see. We got Toastmasters. We have spring break camp continuing. There is the Halau is doing hula dancing at the Filipino Hall on Wednesday. There's a weekly Wednesday night old time jam at the Alaskan Hotel Bar from 7 to 9 p.m. And that gets us through the week. But you're going to be going to all the basketball games. And then on the following Saturday, you're going to go to Body Box because it's so amazing.
Yeah, we do have some time to talk about what's going on at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council as well. But first of all, if you want to see what's going on in the community, you can either check out jahc.org. They have this awesome community calendar, and KTOO also has it. So they share calendars so that people can know all the best things to do in town.
And you can put your things on it by giving us a call or emailing. If you have regular things that you put on it, we'll give you the pass key and you can do it yourself.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Just don't mess with other people's things, okay?
I know.
The temptation.
Maybe sabotage.
Yes, so there are a lot of things going on around the community, and I want to say that we just finished the Poetry Out Loud, so you don't get to see that, but it's online. K2 is rebroadcasting it a couple of times. Check that out. It is, as I've said before, always amazing, moves you to tears. It's powerful. It's powerful stuff. And I think one of the things that we want to make sure is that teachers understand how powerful it is for the children who are involved and encourage teachers to learn about it and incorporate it into their own classrooms if you're a high school teacher. Really want you to kind of be doing that. We're getting geared up for summer. Rachel has the food festival, which is going to happen August 29th. If you want to be involved in the food festival, we already have the links up so you can register for your booth for that. And she's got the sign-ups for the food truck Fridays, for the concerts, for the booths, all that sort of stuff. So summer's right around the corner.
Thank goodness for that. There is a new food truck hanging out.
It's not quite fully there yet, but
okay.
It's in its space. We are working on getting the facilities and all that sort of stuff that it needs and get all the approvals and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, we're turning into a little sort of northern Austin food truck type of place here. Isn't it? Yeah, like we're with it.
Yeah. You're so hip it hurts. So hip it hurts.
My hip hurts too.
Yes. It's like they're little girlfriend boyfriend food carts over there.
Yeah, Yeah, I think that one is going to be have more vegetarian things, perhaps, or rice bowls or something like that. So you'll have some options, and it's really great that Pucker's been able to stay open most of the time. He did pretty brisk business today, given what the weather was.
That's great.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on. We're getting ready for if your applications are online, if you want to be in the gallery, exhibit in the gallery, also for the juried show that's coming up. So go online and check those out. Call Megan if you have questions. At the Jack?
I have a gallery idea.
Oh, you do?
I do. I think I'm going to submit.
All right.
I know.
Awesome. I'm excited.
Well, don't be too excited. It's really messy.
Yeah, well, we've had those before. And I want to mention that, speaking of messy, and then MK comes immediately to mind. I'm sorry, MK. But she has done some amazing things that involve big nests and all sorts of things in the gallery. And she is continuing to do her portrait of the week. Every week she puts up a new charcoal portrait of a person from town who's just a person you may know from around town.
Working. And this is the series that's Grit, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's a working...
It's all people about who are working people of different sorts.
Yeah.
I can't remember who's up there right now. I know Chef Steph was up there last week, but somebody else is up now. But every Monday she comes in, and the person that she's drawn the portrait of comes in too. And so you can meet that person and find out more about what they do. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, I also love swinging by her studio just to see, because she still has everything on, you know, she's got paintings on sale. She's a prolific artist.
She's amazingly prolific. I have no idea where she finds the time. Yeah, so there's a lot of things going on. I encourage you to stop by and get involved in certain things. We're always looking for volunteers, too. So if you have a little time that you want to devote to some things, I know Jazz and Classics is getting geared up. The tickets are online for the Jazz and Classics Festival for people who are members of the Jazz and Classics. So it's time to get Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's coming.
Do you know Big Bad Voodoo Daddy?
Well, not personally.
Oh. I'm going to in May. That's my mission. Because they're so fun.
They are so fun. Yeah.
And is that going to be at the high school, do you know?
I think it's over at Centennial Hall, but I'm not positive. Don't quote me on that subject.
Okay.
But
okay.
That would seem like a good place for that.
Speaking of other really cool events that are coming to town, can you talk a little bit about, because it's Body Vox.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a dance troupe from Portland. They're very, very athletic and physical in their dancing. Not that dancing isn't always like that, but they're a contemporary dance troupe that Janice Hurley had been trying to get us to bring them for a long time. And finally, they're doing a tour of Juno, and they're doing a piece that they put together for 9/11. So it's a dance. They've taken this particular piece all around the world. Should be lovely. They're offering a workshop for elementary and middle school children for an hour on Saturday the 21st out at the Valley JRC. There's only 25 slots. So if you want your kid to be involved, give us a call right away, because I've been hearing the phone ring already this afternoon. So I'm really looking forward to this. There, we have some. If you bring a whole group of people, like five or more, then you get discounts. And if you're a member, you get discounts and all that sort of stuff. But we don't often get to see this kind of dance in Juneau. So it's an opportunity not to be missed.
Yeah. And then after that is amazing Second City, right?
Well, after that actually is our wine tasting. And then is the Mexican Brass, Metalis.
Ooh, I forgot
and
about
Five.
Metalis.
Yes. And they just got a wonderful review that just came in through from the Washington Post. And then it's Second City on April 29th. So do get in line for these tickets, because they're going fast.
Yeah, it's just an amazing season over at the Arts Council.
Yeah, we're trying to keep up. And then it's followed immediately by Jazz and Classics.
Perfect.
Bam.
Boom. JAHC.org. You can get tickets for all sorts of events. You can check out the community calendar and all that good stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. Today is Thursday, March 12th. And tomorrow's show will be great as well. Tune in for that.